Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. If you're using one of the Pew Bibles, it's to be found on page 1093. To give a little context to today's passage, the apostles have been going about and teaching the word of the Lord, preaching the gospel, and on the way been healing many. By this time, they were arrested and put in jail by the Sanhedrin. But at night, an angel of the Lord came and breaks them out of the prison, and is told that he tells them to go and to preach the gospel in the temple. The Sanhedrin again find out about this, and that's where we are in today's passage. The sermon will come from verses 33 to 42. But we will read starting in verse 27. Again, we are at Acts chapter 5, verse 27 on page 1093. Hear the word of the Lord. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you fill Jerusalem with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you have put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel, and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care of what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God." They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. God bless the reading of his word. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for this time we've come together to hear your word preached. We pray that you open our ears and our hearts to the words you have to say to us today, that we may be encouraged and exhorted by them. In Christ's name we pray all things. Amen. In Matthew 28, that is in the Great Commission, the church is told to go out and to make disciples of all nations. And boy, have we. Almost every nation in the world has had a missionary come to it in order to preach the gospel. Many nations have churches And in several nations, the church is exponentially growing. In nations such as China and Korea. Though there are still many who have not heard the gospel, the work is progressing. More and more nations and tribes are being ministered to. And there are many translation projects to get the word of God into the hands of these nations and into the hands of these people. The church is progressing and it is growing. But that is not to say the church has not had its setbacks. From the beginning, the church has faced so many hurdles, especially in the forms of persecution. Though the Ebola outbreak and this sudden snow pandemic along the lake shores have taken over the news recently, it was not long ago that the headlines were screaming about ISIS and how they were beheading Christians within their borders. Before ISIS, how North Korea was executing Christians in each village within their borders. These are only a few of the most recent actions of severe persecution outside of our borders. History is full of times in which Christianity was persecuted, either by restriction of rights or execution. And it's in these times of persecution that people may wonder what will happen to the church. Many so-called experts are saying that in the U.S., the church is deteriorating rapidly. And we may wonder if Christianity will reach a point of extinction, first in the U.S. and then perhaps in the rest of the world. We may wonder, will Christ's church fail? In today's passage, a respected man gave advice to the Council of Sanhedrin named Gamaliel on how to deal with this new group who claimed that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah. He gives reasons to the Sanhedrin why they should not fear this new group. That no matter if they're telling this truth or not, they have no reason to fear. But from these same reasons that Gamaliel gives, we as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ can know that Christ's church will not fail. That it will continue to progress. And that the gospel will continue to go forth. And so today, as we look at these same reasons that Gamaliel gives, we can know that we may be encouraged by them. And so our first encouragement is that we may know that Christ's church will not fail because it is not a man-made movement. In his advice to the council, Gamaliel talks about two men from the Jewish history, Theudas and Judas the Galilean. From verse 36, "For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing." Josephus, who was a Jewish historian at the time of Christ, tells us that Theudas claimed to be a prophet. And he told his followers to gather up all their stuff, to follow him to the Jordan River, and he would separate the waters. And they would cross over on dry land, much in the same way that Moses did in the book of Exodus. But before he succeeded in this action, a small group of military men were sent to kill him and many of his followers, whereas the rest of the followers were brought back to Jerusalem and dispersed. Then we have Judas the Galilean, who was a bit more zealous in his actions. From verse 37, "After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. Judas was rebelling against Rome as they were taking a census. Now, this is not the census that was taken during the time of Christ. But Judas led the people, saying that Rome was taking the census to better tax the people. Another Jewish historian says that this uprising was because it was not fit that any should rule over men but God alone, and that no one should be called Lord but the blessed God, speaking to how the Emperor of Rome calls himself a god. In both cases, these men were able to gather up people to themselves. But then after their death, their followings fell away, and nothing came of their movements in which they tried to start. Their plans failed, and their movements ended. And so Gamaliel is trying to make the same point. These two men were just men. From verse 38, "So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men," referring to the apostles, "and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, as the men in the past, it will be overthrown." Both Thaddeus and Judas have been just mere men, trying to lead others in spiritual matters. And because their actions were just their own plans, not being directed to them by God, they were doomed to fail. They were misleading God's people, and therefore God stopped their work. But the Church of Christ is not a man-made movement. It is a movement of God, a movement where God had more fully revealed his will of salvation. And it is a movement in which God leads. This brings us to our second encouragement. Christ's church will not fail because God is on its side. Gamaliel continues on, first showing them how the plans of men fail, to now how God's plans cannot be stopped. He says in verse 39, again, "But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God." Gamaliel shows that there is no point in trying to stop these men. If their plans were just the result of the teachings of this Jesus, if it is like the teachings of Theudas and Judas, then eventually they will fall away and their teachings with them. And if the council opposes them, they might end up working against God, because God is the only thing that will allow these men, that will allow God's disciples to continue to teach this gospel. And that is why the church is here today. That's why the church has persevered in spreading the gospel thus far. Because God has preserved his people and his church through all the persecution that it has faced. Because who can oppose the will of the Lord God? Paul says rhetorically in the epistle to Romans, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And I say that he says this rhetorically because the answer is just so obvious. No one. No one can stand against the church of Christ because God is for it. No act of man can prevent Christ's church from growing, from reaching out, to presenting itself to the whole world. As the psalmist says in Psalm 2, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Any attempt to silence the church will end in failure, because God ensures its continuance. Any attempt against the church is an attempt against God, and that is a vain plan indeed." And that brings us to our third encouragement. Christ's church will not fail because it follows the true Messiah. As we discussed, Gamaliel compares the works of Christ's followers with the work of these other two men, Theudas and Judas the Galilean. And what is interesting is that these two men depict themselves as messianic figures. That their followers saw them as perhaps the coming Messiah. But not only were they both seen as possible messianic figures, they even exemplified the two sides, or perhaps the two views of the Messiah. We see that one of these men rose to lead his people into a new land, and the other was a leader to rebel against God, or rebel against oppressors of God's people. One was calm and peaceful, and the other was wild and violent. But both of these men met the same fate: death. Both died, and when they died, both of their followings fell away. Without their messianic leaders, all hope was lost to them. These followers of a false Messiah, a false Christ, men who were not anointed by God. And so the followings were bound to fall away from their teachings at their death. For in these men there was no hope for their followers. But we, the Church of Jesus Christ, follow the true Messiah, the Son of God, God's anointed and chosen one, the one who leads us today in hope and protects us from the oppression of the evil one, the one who will lead us into a new and restored earth, and one who will throw his and our enemies into that lake of fire. And that is what makes Christ so much more distinct from these other men, that he did not remain dead, but he rose again, that he lives and he reigns and he leads us still. However, during the time in which Christ was dead, we get a sense that people were already starting to lose hope. On the road to Emmaus, one of the disciples says, unknowingly to Christ, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Death does not bring hope. A dead Messiah is no Messiah at all. Just as the dead cannot praise God, the dead cannot lead. And that is what makes our Messiah, our Christ, so much greater than any other person who has claimed to be Messiah before. Our Messiah does not lead from the dead, but he is risen. And he leads his church from the right hand of the Father. From Hebrews 8:1, we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Our Messiah is alive, and he will not let his church, his people, be silenced in proclaiming the good news of his gospel. He continues today and for all time to lead us. Though Gamaliel may not have known it, and though he perhaps thought that these men were just making up their own man-made scheme, he was also wise in knowing that the will of God will be what it is. That if God wished these men to continue, they would by his hand. In fact, it is because of the hand of God that Gamaliel was even there to say these things. But these men be spared to continue to spread the gospel. And now from these words, you know that there is great assurance in the work of the church. From the wisdom of a man in the Council of Sanhedrin, you can be assured that Christ's church will continue, that it will progress, that because of these things, because of this thing called Christianity, is not made by man, that it is the will of God, because God is its own leader. There is nothing that can be done to destroy it. Nothing can prevent Christ's church from going forward. And so furthermore, brothers and sisters, because you have been raised with Christ as a new creation and are now a part of this church of Christ, you can know that you too will not fail. Nothing of this world can stop you from spreading the truth of the gospel. Nothing can stop you from furthering the kingdom of Christ. Because of these things, you can go out in confidence, not doubting your abilities or fearing the obstacles of this world. That is not to say that there won't be obstacles or that there will not be persecution. Again, as we look out into the world, we see it everywhere. Not just in foreign nations, but even in our own nation. People being persecuted for following the true Messiah, the Lord and the King of all things. The men of this passage, the apostles that is, faced persecution as well. And from the end of verse 39 and following, so they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for his name. Do not fear the persecution, but do like what these disciples did, and know, because of the gospel in which you speak, you have been counted worthy. Rejoice in this, brothers and sisters, and know that nothing can stand in the way of Christ and his church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for how you have preserved us as your church. We thank you for the fruit that we see of your church continuing to grow. We just ask that you give us strength and assurance to know that we can go out into the world and preach your good word. That many would come and know that your Son is the Christ. That they may know that they have salvation in him and him alone. Bless us and give us perseverance. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.